This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. I'm co-host Randy Eccles. We're always happy to feature things that are going on in the community. Today, we have our friends from the Illinois Innocence Project who are celebrating their 25th anniversary this year. We're doing a series of interviews with them over the year to talk about their mission and what they do. We have two guests from the organization, Mark Beach and Christine Bunch. Mark, explain your role with the Innocence Project.
I am the associate director of our Wrongful Conviction Awareness and Avoidance Training Program. And so what I do is go around to the different police academies in the state of Illinois, train their officers about the issue of wrongful conviction.
Christine, how did you get involved with the organization?
I was wrongfully convicted in 1996. I went to prison for 17 years. After my exoneration, I was asked to come speak here at UIS. After that, I just kept coming back every time they invited me. When police training first started, I was one of the first exonerees to go in and talk at the training academy in Champaign. It changed my life. I've continued to do it. When the Training and Standards Board said that the WCAA program should go statewide, I was hired to be the Speakers Bureau coordinator. So I brought in 25 other exonerated men and women from across the country to go in and help train the police officers.
Someone who has been exonerated, that means?
That means that they proved that I was actually innocent.
You were at one point convicted and served time, which is horrible. For a variety of reasons, the Innocence Project deals with that issue. You guys are on the front end of this and trying to prevent these convictions by educating officers in training what they need to do to avoid wrongful conviction.
What we do is we go in with a team. Myself as a retired former law enforcement officer, we have an innocence attorney that goes with us, and then we bring two exoneree speakers to every training. And so what we do is we educate the officers about the common contributing factors. First, we bring them awareness, right? We let them know about the stats and the facts surrounding wrongful conviction, because many members of the public have no idea how prevalent wrongful convictions actually are within our criminal legal system, not only here in Illinois, but across the country. After we've made them aware of the issue, we teach them some best practices, things they can do in their everyday investigations to try to minimize the risk of incarcerating an innocent person.
What are those things that lead to wrongful convictions?
We've identified, looking at the National Registry of Exonerations, which is a website I would ask all of your listeners to go to and support. It's a list of up to almost 3,800 individuals now that have been exonerated across the country, tells their stories and gives some facts about their stories. So we looked at those and we were able to extrapolate out the top five contributing factors that lead to wrongful convictions, things such as the use of incentivized testimony, official misconduct where police officers, prosecutors, members of the criminal legal system are doing things they know they're not supposed to do. Things like eyewitness misidentification, where a victim or a witness looks at a lineup or a show up, picks out who they think is the perpetrator of the crime, and in fact, they're wrong. They picked the wrong person. Things like false confession, where somebody confesses to a crime that they know they didn't commit, what leads to that? And then issues in forensics. And so, you know, oftentimes in law enforcement, we rely on experts to come in and give us information about our cases, and sometimes those forensics experts get it wrong as well. We talk about each one of those factors. We give actual case studies, whether it's through the use of one of our exoneree speakers who's there presenting that day, talking about how one of those contributing factors led to their wrongful conviction, or other more historical cases, and we give them best practices to change the way they do things in their investigations to try to minimize that risk.
Christine, do those basically apply to your experience?
Yes. I lost my 3-year-old son in a fire.
Sorry for that.
It was faulty forensics that led them to label the fire as an arson. I also had a forensic chemist who altered a document to make it look like there was accelerant there. After my time in prison, it was determined that it was an accidental electrical fire. No crime had occurred at all. That's really what opened my eyes to how wrong our experts can get it. Innocent people pay for it.
Now you've made a point to try to help prevent this from happening for other folks.
Absolutely. It's important that we make sure it doesn't happen. This program, it really gives something back to the exonerees that go in and share. It's almost a form of healing because you are going in and doing something to make the system that wronged you better.
When you talk to the officers, what do you feel is the most important part of your experience to communicate to them?
The most important part is letting them know that we're people just like they are. There's a huge misconception that the people that go to prison did something or deserve it or look different or act different or they're somehow less than. I don't think the public really knows that it's normal everyday people that this can happen to and they can end up in prison.
The exonerees you've collected to be part of the Speakers Bureau find this cathartic or rewarding to do. How do you get them to say yes?
If you ask them, they would say I bullied them. For most of them, I reached out. I told them about my experience. I told them that I was very frightened the first time I went in. Afterwards, I felt like I had lost a few pounds, had taken some of that weight that I carried off of me. I invited them to come in. At first, they can come in and they can just observe a class. We don't want anybody to be there if they're uncomfortable. So they come in, they observe. If they choose to do it, they stay on and they become one of our speakers.
I would have to imagine any exoneree has PTSD when they're around law enforcement. Do you still have that come up with you at times now that you work so closely with people trying to help them be better trained?
You are absolutely right. When I first started, anytime I saw a police officer, I was on edge, uncomfortable, would have to get up and leave. Now I don't notice. It's no big deal. The stigma and bias I carried because of my own experience has been wiped away by this program.
Mark, is there anything else people should know about what the wrongful conviction and awareness and avoidance training is about?
What we focus on is more of a collaboration. That's one of the things that we see in our system today. When I talk to innocence attorneys, when I talk to exonerees, and when I talk to my brothers and sisters in law enforcement, we are a part of an adversarial system where it's sometimes seen as an us versus them mentality, prosecution versus the defense, good versus evil. What I really need for people to understand is, as Christine said, we are all human beings and we need to work together. What we find and what our innocence attorneys find as they go to present a case to a prosecutor or to a former law enforcement officer at an agency, what we often find is those walls are immediately up because nobody likes to admit when they're wrong. When our innocence attorneys go in to present these cases, oftentimes they're met with that frustration of, we don't want to listen to you. I really want, whether it's prosecutors, judges, police officers, is just to have an open mind. We're human beings. Everybody is fallible. This is not a perfect system. And so if we can come to a point where instead of saying, no way, there's no way we could be wrong, instead come to an agreement or a point where we can say, tell me more. Why do you think we got this one wrong? Where do you think we made errors, or where do you think errors occurred? Then we start to make that system better. The criminal legal system is one of the only systems where there isn't a portion built into to try to minimize risk. When you look at the automotive industry, certainly there have been studies and ways that we can make our cars safer and less likely to cause injury if they're involved in an accident, which accidents happen. It's a human system. The medical industry, when we're looking at the way that doctors do surgery, certainly those have been improved over the years where doctors are willing to admit that mistakes happen, things happen. How do we minimize that risk? In terms of wrongful conviction, there's work being done, but how do we fix this system to at least minimize the risk? I would love to say that we are eventually going to eliminate wrongful convictions, but when you're working in a human system, there is always going to be some type of risk. It's how do we mitigate that risk? How do we reduce it? And we only do that through collaboration, by working together and identifying ways that the system errs, right? How do we identify the error rate within the system, and how do we start to minimize that risk to the best of our ability? So that's really what I hope that our future law enforcement, right? We're teaching new recruits that are coming up into the criminal legal system. They're going to be representing that system for the next 20 to 30 years. Hopefully they have nice long careers and healthy and safe ones. They are also going to be changing that system by learning from us about ways that they can reduce that risk. Not that they're going to eliminate it, but at least I hope they come out of that class with an open mind and say, I worked this case 10 years ago, and now somebody's coming and telling me that I may have had some errors that occurred in there. Tell me more. What can I do to try to remedy this? What can I do to make this right? Or here's why those errors aren't errors. They really are what happened. We have those communications.
This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. We're speaking with Christine Bunch and Mark Beach from the Illinois Innocence Project, which is celebrating its 25th anniversary. They are both part of training for police officers to help make sure that they avoid things that have been researched and shown to have been likely to end up in false convictions or wrongful convictions. Mark, how did you get involved? We heard from Christine why she got involved. How did you get involved with the Innocence Project?
In late 2022, I was starting to look at retirement. I'd been involved at my police department for over 27 years at that point. So I was looking at what was I going to do in my next career. I have a longtime friend and mentor of mine, a guy named Dr. Mike Schlosser, who's at that time was the director of the Police Training Institute at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. Mike had been running this program or bringing it over to his recruits at his academy for about 6 years. Mike was my field training officer when I got hired as a police officer. He was my sergeant, my lieutenant. And when he retired and went to work at the Police Training Institute, I followed him down there and was an adjunct instructor as a part-time job for about 19 years. And so we have a long ongoing history of training together and working together. And so it was Mike that approached me in late 2022, asked me what I was going to do in retirement. I said, I'm just going to keep teaching. I enjoy training. I have a passion for education and for training officers. Police officers who receive quality training are better police officers. I think they're safer. They represent our communities in a better way. Mike said, great, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. I might have an opportunity for you. And I said, well, what's that, Mike? He said, we've been doing this program for about 6 years now, and the Training and Standards Board has made it mandatory at every academy in the state. They're looking for somebody to go and teach it. I said, well, what's the program? And he says, it's about wrongful convictions. And I said, Mike, I don't know anything about wrongful convictions. I was a firearms instructor. I was a defensive tactics instructor. I didn't know the first thing about wrongful convictions. He said, that's okay. Come educate yourself and learn about it. If it doesn't change your mind, if it doesn't help you think differently about it, then keep doing what you're doing. You'll be just fine. I went down and I sat in a class in November of 22 with about 80 police recruits and listened to Stephanie Campbell and John Hanlon, two innocence attorneys from the Illinois Innocence Project. And I listened to Christine share her story. I was absolutely heartbroken over what this system that I had represented for all these years does to people, how it gets it wrong. I left that class with a changed heart from my view of wrongful convictions and with an understanding of how prevalent they really are and a desire to change that. My retirement was effective March 10th of 2023, and it lasted all of 6 days before I came on board at the Illinois Innocence Project in March 16th of 2023. That's been my passion and my job for the last 3 years, is going around and educating people about the issue. And we've trained over 6,500 police officers at this point all throughout Illinois. Every brand new police officer in the last 3 years has had our class. So we're really making a change, and I'm excited about it.
Christine, you talked about recruiting the exoneree speakers that come to this, but when you get into one of these trainings, they're what, about 4 hours, a half day? What does the itinerary look like for a training?
As soon as we get in, we do introductions. That way everybody knows who the speakers and staff are, and they can mingle with us before they hear from us. On bathroom breaks or out to get water, they can ask questions. Most of them are very curious. Then we go through the whole stats and facts, which is incredibly boring. It's a lot to take in for myself and the other speakers. It's about watching the officers' faces as they're learning. You can see how engaged they are. You can see the surprise on their face. It's enlightening. Every single one, I feel like somebody else touches me in a sweet, special way, because you can see they're taking it in and they're learning and they have an open mind. For each exoneree that goes, we know what the breakdown is going to be for those 4 hours after the stats and facts, and they go through those contributing factors. Each one of us stands up and we talk about the contributing factors in our case, and then we learn about other cases. But the officers are so engaged with us that it doesn't feel like 4 hours. Often we're staying after an extra 20 or 30 minutes to answer questions and just hear from the officers.
Are there a small percentage of recruits that don't take it seriously?
That actually has not been our observation at all, which was kind of surprising to some of my coworkers at the project. They were apprehensive about going into law enforcement and how this training was going to be received. I can only think of maybe one or two instances where people expressed not necessarily a disbelief, but questioned the statistics. Law enforcement can at times be questioning on stats, right? We think that numbers can be made and manipulated to what the speaker wants people to hear. To a certain extent, that's true. Just as an example, there's a range of studies that are out there of the error rate in wrongful conviction, anywhere from 1 to 2% of all convictions could be wrongful convictions, up to a study that was done where over 12% of convictions could be in error. When you look at that wide range of numbers, people can ask questions like, well, is it 12% or is it 3%? Is it 2%? My response after we talk about the stats and we share the facts with them, I always point out, look, I know how the brains of my law enforcement brothers and sisters work, and we can sometimes think that stats can be manipulated. My question to them is always, what number are we satisfied with? If you think that 3% of wrongful convictions is too high, when you consider that there are almost 2 million people incarcerated in the United States at this point, 4% of that, it'd be 80,000 people. Maybe you think that's too high, inflating that number. Okay, so are we satisfied with 1%? If we drop it down below what most of the studies would say, and we say, what about 1%? Are we okay with 20,000 American citizens being incarcerated for something they didn't do? And of course, the answer is always no. And when you think that number's too high, how about 0.5%? 10,000 Americans being incarcerated for something they didn't do. Well, nobody's ever fine with that. And so at the end of the day, I say, what number are you satisfied with? And the answer in every single class is always the same. 0. We don't want any innocent person to be in prison. And that's exactly how we start the class. And we go for the next 4 hours talking about how we can help that be prevented.
You're doing it as new recruits in training. Are the older officers who might be a little more resistant, are they starting to get some of this training?
One of my goals has always been to expand out of the academies to train experienced police officers. And we've had that opportunity a few different occasions to get in front of experienced police officers anywhere from 3 years on to almost 40 years on, as well as prosecutors and judges. We see exactly the same thing that we see in our recruit classes, which is an amazement at how often the system gets it wrong, and we open their eyes to the issue. It's been very well supported, and so we're going to continue. In fact, the Training and Standards Board at the end of last year approved our course to be trained to experienced police officers so that they can get continued education credits that we all have to keep doing our jobs. The Training and Standards Board, to their credit, approved that, and so we're working this year to try to get into some of the areas that train experienced police officers so we can do that. Also, expansion out into other states. This program has been seen by exonerees from across this country, and they say, how do I get it to my state? How do I bring this program? Because we're the only ones in the country that are doing this. They want this in their states. And so that's another goal, a long-term goal of mine, is how do we expand this program out to other states?
Illinois seems to have been very progressive in supporting this and making sure this happens. Christine, I think your conviction occurred in Indiana. Are they one of the other states that's taking a look at how to avoid these?
Indiana is not. A couple years ago, we were able to open our first conviction integrity unit. I don't think that in Indiana, people have an idea how often this occurs, how many innocent people could be in our jails and prisons. So there's still a lot of opposition. We are working on that, and hopefully I think it'll change in the future.
Anything you'd like to leave us with?
We can make a difference within our system. It doesn't have to be black and white. We are thinking outside of the box and finding new ways to go in and attack the things that are wrong, and hopefully to bring some healing, better practices, and stop the number of wrongful convictions that are occurring each year.
Christine, I'm sorry for your loss, and I'm sorry that you've had to go through all this. Thank you for rising up to improve the situation. Mark, any last thoughts yourself?
Illinois has been very progressive in working through this, and it's always such an honor to work with our legislators, both in the House and the Senate, that support our project, as well as the Training and Standards Board. The men and women over there are absolute professionals, and it's great to work with them. I'm just excited to see where this program is going to continue to grow, because it's not a partisan thing. Nobody wants innocent people in prison. And so how do we continue to reduce that risk? It's by working together. So it's just awesome to be able to do that and to be a part of that.
Mark Beach and Christine Bunch of the Illinois Innocence Project, thanks for joining us today to talk about this training that's so valuable in helping avoid additional wrongful convictions. Congratulations on the 25th anniversary for the Illinois Innocence Project.
Well, thanks so much for having us, Randy. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, thank you.